Hello and welcome to Fat Mascara, live from our bedrooms. This is Jessica.
I'm Jen. Welcome to Fat Mascara, everyone.
Thank you for hanging in and sticking with us. I have to say, I'm really appreciative of, and I think I speak for Jen too, of all of the kind messages you guys have sent us about the show right now. I feel like this is, we are really, to borrow a phrase, we are stronger together right now.
It's really keeping my spirits up. I have to be, this was like a rough week for some reason.
Oh, it's horrible. It's really bad.
I had to just send like 3 sympathy cards in 1 week. Like,
whoa.
Cousins, grandfather, then Eric's aunt's father. You know, we're here in the New York area and the nursing homes are getting hit hard and some of like the lovely, wonderful older people in our lives. And it's just like, why is this all happening at once? Like, and you can't even go to a funeral. It's just very weird.
It's just I think it's very, regardless of, I mean, obviously you've mentioned the most obvious connection to the crisis, but I think it's just, it's very stressful on many levels. I mean,
and you have a newborn.
I've got a newborn. We are in a really small space right now, and I don't think that helps matters.
Wait, cheer me up though. Tell me how she's doing.
She's great, which I'm very lucky. I feel very blessed that she's healthy. I feel very blessed that we have, you know, like a roof over our heads, like food in the fridge. You know, we are not in a position where I feel, you know, frightened about tomorrow, which is more than I think a lot of people can say right now, but I think it's stressful. And I was saying, like, you know, we live in a 1-bedroom in Manhattan and just everything is like cramped. And I put on my Instagram the other day, like, just like, for some reason, like sometimes I have like a love of a hate affair with Instagram. Sometimes like, why do people like need to put what they had for breakfast on Instagram? Like, who cares? It's so self-indulgent. And then like the next time, like, I'm going to put a photo of me doing laundry. So I put a photo of me doing laundry and I got a lot of responses. And a lot of the responses I got were like, oh, your laundry's in the basement, or like you don't have your own laundry in your apartment.
Oh, hi, people. It's New York City.
It's New York City. I'm like lucky that I guess we, you know, when most of my apartments in New York, I had like laundry was like not in the apartment building. You have to drop it off or go to the laundromat. But I do laundry all day long with her. All day long, she blows up her outfit. And guys, I'm putting the diapers on right. So don't come at me about like, are you putting it on right? Like, I put it on right, but she just like blows shit up. And every outfit needs to be like immediately dealt with. Like, you cannot.
I say stop dressing her. Just have her be in the diaper.
But then I need to be wearing goggles or like, it needs to be. Yeah, the other day, I'm not kidding. This is so gross. She's going to kill me if she ever hears this one day. She's sitting in her little like baby Bjorn like bouncer, which is like, it's like a resort, like, you know, like lounger for babies. Okay. She's in it, has this mesh, like, you know, like, thank God, like washable mesh, like slime. She's chilling. And I see there is a puddle on the floor underneath her of liquid poo, and she's just having a great time like in her lounger. The whole back needed to be laundered, the floor needed to be pine sawed, the diaper obviously needed to be dealt with, the child needed to be like completely bathed.
She didn't even care.
The outfit needed to be laundered. It was a nice outfit. I wasn't just gonna throw it. Like, there were so many levels of cleaning, like the chair, the floor, the child, the outfit, and it was 10 p.m. I went to bed so pissed off, but it was like, you know what? It's just like life, but it's like that happens, like something like that every day.
You're dealing with a time bomb and when will it explode?
Yeah, and I don't know. I've just been like really pissy lately and I don't know what to do about it. I'm so sorry. Anyway.
Maybe we have our show and cheer you up with some beauty talk.
Yes, and I realized I was just talking about that and like in the light of you started off like funeral homes and I'm like, I'm doing laundry every day. It's just like,
we're all doing what
everyone's
we can.
Like cranky.
I think people understand. No, you're allowed.
Let's brighten it up. Okay, we've got a great show for you tonight, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, tell everybody what we're going to talk about.
Okay. So
I feel like you're the let's get ready to rumble guy.
I'm like the manic like circus announcer right now. I'm like, great show.
Everything's fine. Everything's fine.
Everything's great. great, right? Okay, we're going to talk about the best headlines of the week, or at least just like the most interesting ones that we have pulled together. Okay, then we're going to talk about how the hell you organize your beauty, like, products and all of that stuff. And I feel like this is so timely because, like I said, walls are closing in and we got nothing but time. So let's talk about that. There's lots of great tips in here. Then we're going to talk about tinted shampoos. This is a special segment. And this is also handy because a lot of us need to make sure our hair color is looking tight when we can't get to the salon. And then finally, our guest.
I feel like this is so appropriate. Our guest is Zoe Foster Blake. She's an Australian beauty editor turned entrepreneur, turned mom of two. She's an author, but she's a mom just like you. So she knows what's up. I think this, we recorded this while you were on maternity leave. Yes. So I feel like I wish you were there because I think you and she would really have gotten along. So I'm so excited for you to hear that interview and for everybody else to hear it.
I haven't heard it yet. I'm excited.
Yeah, let's do it. Official music cueing me in. Here we go. You ready for this week's beauty headlines?
I am ready.
Okay, so as we've discussed on the podcast, Charlotte Tilbury's been shopping around, or actually people have been shopping for her. One of the big beauty companies for sure is going to be buying this in any minute. Bloomberg reports that Unilever, Puig, L'Oreal, Estee Lauder, Shiseido, they've all put in bids on Charlotte Tilbury Cosmetics. So there might be some news on that any minute now. Jess, I want to make a bet with you. How much do you think it's going to sell for?
Well, Avi, over a bill.
You're saying over a billion?
Of course. Are you kidding?
The only one we know of that's over a billion was It Cosmetics. So
the Too Faced too.
I'm going to say, just because of the craziness right now, I'm going to say 900 million.
No, I'm sticking to over a billion. Are you kidding? That brand is so popular and it's so, there's just so much potential. I feel like it's a brand that could go like Ulta-y or could go like more high-end. She's such a personality. Everybody knows it. It's like my mother knows it, but also like it's super high-end too. I don't know.
Okay, so we'll see when the news comes in how much Charlotte Tilbury sells her line for, and then we'll know who won. Okay, more news. L'Oreal about to make work from home more fun. I thought this was so cool. They're partnering with Snap Camera to have people try on Snapchat lenses when they're doing conferencing calls or live streams or like Zoom calls or all that business stuff that has gotten so boring, and people just throw up those crazy pictures behind them. How much more fun to put Snapchat lenses on, right?
That's cute. I wonder how our bosses would feel about this though. Like if you have like a big pair of like crazy eyelashes.
Well, you're the beauty director at Harper's Bazaar. So I'm sure when you go back to work proper and you're Zooming with everybody, you need to bring the glam and L'Oreal will help you.
I meant the royal we, but you know what I'm saying. I think maybe it's more for like Zoom parties, happy hours.
Probably. You're probably right. Okay, so more news, some legal news. A U.S. district judge in New Jersey ruled that civil lawsuits from plaintiffs claiming Johnson & Johnson baby powder led them to develop cancer can proceed. Okay, this isn't a ruling on the validity of the claims yet. This is just that the lawsuits can proceed. And as we've mentioned on the podcast, there is some research that has shown that Mind talc may be contaminated with ingredients that can have carcinogenic effects, like asbestos and stuff. So we should watch this legal proceeding to see what happens. Just wanted to give you the update on that since we've talked about it before. And then on a much lighter, much funner, much more, I don't know, sexy? Is this a sexy note? There's a new makeup trend for everyone. You know cat eye, move over cat eye. We have fox eye. And if we had money right now, I would like to license the music for What Did the Fox Say? But we can't afford it. So the fox eye makeup trend. Jess, did you see this on Erin Parsons' Instagram?
I watched the whole thing. And P.S., we have a new intern, Olivia.
Oh, yes.
And Olivia sent this to us. I watched the whole thing. I thought it was cool when Erin Parsons did it. I do not think it would look as cool on me if I tried to do this.
Okay, so here's what fox eye is. Picture your cat eye regular elongated eyeliner on your outer corner. Mm-hmm. Then take your inner corner, the tear duct, and also elongate the eyeliner in and that way, down and in, so that the eyes have those like elongated tear ducts and then also the pulled up cat eye at the outside.
Like a fox.
It's actually really cool. Like a fox, or maybe like Gem. I felt like it was kind of like Gem Truly Outrageous. a little bit. I don't know.
I think like there's something very like animalistic, like feral about it. Not feral.
No, feline.
Yeah, it was very feline. I just think there's something also, I know that it like elongates, but it also kind of makes, I remember Jennifer Aniston's mother told her, you know, they had a bad relationship, her and her mom. And she talked about this in an article once. And her mother said never to bring her eyeliner close together towards the middle of her eyes, because she said your eyes are already too close together. And so it makes them look even more close together. So that stuck with me because I was like, yeah, her eyes are kind of close together. So, you know, that would like, I'm forgetting about the crazy relationship with her and her mom. I was like, her mom was kind of right.
The fox would not be right for her.
I think the fox would not be right for like anyone but Gigi Hadid, which is like Erin Parsons' number one client. So I think like I'll try it, but I think that it's probably not flattering on like most people.
Okay, next week's show, please come on the Zoom with the fox
I'll
eye.
Try it.
And I will, take screen grabs to show everybody that you did it. And guess what? That has been your beauty news of the week.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Okay, I'm very excited about this topic. This is another goodie from our Facebook group. Again, I feel like I am trying to sell people on the Facebook group. I'm not. I'm just very inspired by a lot of the conversations that are happening there. Again, you can find a link to that group on our blog on fatmascara.com. Okay, so this is all about organization. A lot of us are at home. We may have a couple of extra hours during the day and we're like, okay, what to do with this makeup mess, all these beauty products everywhere. Jen, you have a pretty good system, right?
I've had to make a good system. I feel like this is where people in small homes excel because we got to be ruthless with our organization, right?
In theory, yes. I live in a small space. Again, one bedroom. We threw a baby into the mix. I definitely was ruthless before she was born about getting rid of stuff. Now stuff has been coming in, like brands are sending products.
Yeah, I don't have an office anymore. This is my office. My office is my home. So all the Fat Mascara beauty closet is like my closet. So I need help.
You have that issue too. So it's definitely rough. So I don't have a system that I'm going to use as like a best practice. I need to learn from you guys. So there's some great ideas here. This girl, Robin, from the group, she bought, all right, my first roommate in New York, who was like a Craigslist random, or like, it wasn't Craigslist, but something like that. She bought a shoe organizer, the kind with pockets, clear plastic. I can't say, Robin, I love you, but I can't say this is the most aesthetically pleasing.
I saw her picture though. Yeah.
She hangs it over the linen closet door. All of the unopened items go in there and she can see everything. I think the shoe organizer thing is interesting. I like that it's vertical because I think going up, generally speaking, is like our answer here. It's like we can't go horizontally.
Yeah, you don't have counter space. So use your vertical space in your home for beauty organization. I will say, I'm going to be a little brutal here. It does give me college vibes. It's absolutely how I organized my shit in college was the shoe organizer. But if it's on the back of the door and you don't see it, I'll allow it. What else you got?
I get like PTSD from my first apartment. I remember this girl just put like everything there and it was like clunky dunky every time I closed the bathroom door. Okay, but I like what you're talking about if you can't see it. So Hope, she said that she, I love that she said, she prefaced that she goes, I am single with no kids. She converted her linen closet into a complete like magazine style beauty department beauty closet.
How much stuff do you have, Hope? Woo!
I think, honestly, I think you and I have enough stuff to do this. It's her skincare closet, and she bought tubs from Target. Each of them were less than a dollar, and it's basically like, you guys have to go on the thread and check this out. Jen, you pinned one of the more interesting threads recently. Can you pin this thread too? So it comes.
I'll pin
this
so you guys can see pictures. I will say what she is onto there. Was the tubs, and I am a fan of the Container Store clear acrylic ones,
yeah,
because you can see through them as well. I will, here's my tip to go along with Hope. Is this Hope's suggestion? You cannot clean acrylic containers with Windex. Did you know that? It scratches it all up and it gets foggy.
Just water,
I learned
right?
that the hard way. Just water, or you can like do vinegar and water or alcohol. But I love the Container Store tiered drawers for my stuff.
Are they on wheels or just the drawers?
No wheels, just drawers. And I put them on the inside the bookshelf so that everything's like organized.
Speaking of Container Store, I am very close to putting add to cart a Lazy Susan from Container Store for my fragrances, because to the point earlier about going vertically, I need something that goes up because all of my fragrances are going across on my dresser. I have like...
Oh, so like a tiered, almost like a cake tier that you would get like a fancy tea if you're getting fancy tea at a hotel. But your fragrances will be... That could be pretty too.
I'm going to try it. It's $20. It's not the end of the world if it doesn't work out. Ellie says she's a big fan of Lazy Susan organizers. She put a link to one from M Design, which is a deep plastic Lazy Susan turntable storage tray. I will put a link to this on the blog. There were a lot of other people chimed in about Lazy Susans. I like that because you really get more bang for your buck in terms of surface area because it's stacking.
Yeah.
And you can just spin it around, which is really nice. And then a lot of people like the IKEA Alex drawer. So this is if you have some square footage. It's $79 and you're only getting, it's only a little bit more than a foot wide, and it's pretty tall. It's about 27 inches tall, and it's very non-offensive design. It can go with any aesthetic, and it's just like nice deep drawers to put your stuff in. And it's just like, it really holds a lot of stuff. So
if you have a bathroom that like, it could slide right next to the sink because it's skinny, or next to the desk or something, that's a good one.
I thought that was great. And then this is one of my last...
Did you like that I just said, if you have a bathroom? Like most... Like, I meant like if you have like a bigger bathroom than mine. Like I have like this New York City bathroom that literally nothing can fit in but the toilet.
Me too.
That's not what I meant. People are going to be like, where does she live?
I know. I totally got what you meant. And I, because I'm thinking like, I wish I had a bathroom that would accommodate even like my sink doesn't even have a thing underneath it to put stuff under. It's like a school sink, you know, like
Oh, I've been there.
It's so bad. This one girl said, this is so funny. She goes, Elizabeth goes, I have a shelf in my bathroom, and she arranged her products in rainbow color order. So they look like art. and not like a bunch of bottles. You know how people do that with their books? I was like, that is very inspired.
I will say that probably looks beautiful, but my last tip was going to be group by category. So the hair products for me are under the sink. The makeup is near the mirror. The skincare is in my nightstand drawer because that's where I put it on. So think about where you use the products in your day and group them there. Like, because if all of your beauty is one place and you don't have like a vanity, that just feels like it's not going to be organized. That's a very Marie Kondo trick too. Like, think about where you use the thing and that's where you should store it.
Did you ever read the Marie Kondo book? Rainbow. Did you ever do that?
Of course. Have you been to my apartment? What is it? What do you think?
It is. Your apartment is pretty minimalist, I will say. I did one thing that was very handy that I stopped doing for a while, which is I had a small makeup bag of just the stuff that I use like kind of every day. But then I was like, is that your everyday makeup bag?
I brought it as my show and tell too. This one is Oliver Thomas and they're like lined with plastic, yeah. But they're super duper cute. I really like those. So I'll put a link to those.
But don't you like, the reason why I didn't stick to that thing because I was like, I don't want to be someone that uses the same stuff every day. I like to use all of my things.
Yeah, well, especially now that we're home and we're like using everything. This was more my like between work and school and home kind of bag. Oliver Thomas makes cute ones, but you're right. You should have a nice little setup at home.
I know. I haven't figured it out yet.
Everybody else, go on Facebook, add your own. Please upload pictures because the people that were trying to explain it without pictures, I was like, I need pictures.
Yeah.
We'll pin it to the top of our Facebook group and you can find a link to that on our Instagram. Or on fatmascara.com. Thanks for the tips, everyone.
Yeah, very inspired, guys.
Okay, so this next segment is brought to you by Moroccan Oil, one of the sponsors that helps make it possible for us to bring you the podcast every week. Moroccan Oil just launched a new Blonde Perfecting Purple Shampoo. Maybe you caught the Fat Mascara exclusive presale. Jess, did you catch it?
I caught it. Was so cool. Felt very excited, very proud.
Yeah, it's a purple shampoo that helps to correct brassiness in blonde, gray, white, and lightened brunette hair. And Jess and I, when we saw this, we loved it. We were just thinking, though, there are so many questions about color depositing and tinted shampoos.
Yeah, the big question I hear a lot is, how are colored shampoos different than hair dye?
I know, and I did a little research on this. I've also used them myself. But basically, instead of when you do a dye, the cuticle is lifted up, whether with like ammonium peroxide or some sort of other chemical, so that the pigment molecules are deposited inside the strand. And the color enhancing shampoos, they're sort of like, I like to think of it as like stained glass, if you will.
Oh, that's a very pretty analogy.
I just came up with that. Thank you. Who are we kidding? I probably heard that in some event somewhere over the years as I was learning about tinted shampoos.
It just came back to you. It was like buried in your brain.
So basically the pigment molecules are laid down on top of the strand. So you're viewing the color of your hair through this tint of the shampoo. And what that does is fix it. So if you have this yellow hair that's like getting brassy, orangey, If you view it through a very sheer purple window, you're just going to see beautiful, luminous blonde hair.
Right. And because the purple is like a cool tone and most blondes, at least that we know, like we have blonde experts on the show all the time, they don't want it to get that like brassy, orangey, like icky, like oxidized look. So the purple is going to give it like that fresh, cool tone.
Yeah, but I mean, these come in all different colors. This is on a newer side. I've used a green one for brunette hair. I have to separate out my gray streak, obviously. That would get purple, so it gets whiter. In fact, when I first dyed when I first got my white hair growing in, I did the purple shampoo on it so it wasn't too yellow. So that actually works. But the green works on brunette to give it that like ashy. So it doesn't look as orangey. Have you ever tried any?
I have tried the red shampoos over the course of my life. And I want to tell you, this is a PSA. I thought that if I used a red shampoo and I kept it on longer and I use a lot of it, that was going to make my red hair. I mean, so silly. I thought it was going to make it like brighter and like, you know, keep the gray away. Like, I just thought it was like the answer to all my problems.
You thought it was like demi-permanent dye.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's it. Maybe the question at the start was like from me. I made my scalp like slightly strawberry tinted.
How long did you leave it on?
Probably like 10 minutes or something like that, maybe more. So I just thought it's giving myself like a beauty treatment, you know? This was a long time ago.
You know what else? This is a good time maybe to bring up directions with color enhancing shampoos.
Listen to the directions. Don't think that you're going to like hack the system. I know that with the new Moroccan Oil, the Blonde Perfecting Purple Shampoo, what's nice about it is it works 3 to 5 minutes. And it really does work in 3 to 5 minutes. Don't think that you're an expert and are going to make it work.
Leave it on longer. It's like that TikTok thing that I always bring up because I just think it's ridiculous when they put the purple shampoo on and they dye their hair purple with it. Follow the instructions. Like you said, this one is 3 to 5 minutes, and then you just use a regular conditioner from Moroccan Oil.
Yes.
Some of the color depositing shampoos, they also like you to use a color depositing conditioner with it, but they're formulated to work together. So like, this is not where you like do a DIY. I messed with the system. This isn't the product where you try that. You know what I mean?
We'll tell you when you can mess with it. We'll have an expert come on and tell you like the cute hacks, but like this is not a time to be hacking, especially when you can't go into a salon necessarily and get it fixed.
Enhance your color, use the purple to make it luminous.
I'm actually going to send this to my Aunt Renee, who I always talk about, my wonderfully, delightfully blunt Aunt Renee, because she's one of these women with a weekly standing appointment for like the past 30 years on Fridays for her hair. She gets a color and she gets a set. You know, she doesn't even wash her own hair. She gets a set, you know, like for her little like short hair. So she's now gray because she can't, like, she's like, I'm not going to dye my own hair. But she's like never been gray. But she wants like, she's like, I want that like, you know, beautiful, like luminous, like she wants to keep her hair like looking.
She's the purple shampoo.
Just to give it a little brightness, a little, you know, a little kick. So I'm going to be sending her some of this. She's going to love it. She loves a freebie. I'm going to send her some of my personal stash.
You're a good niece.
Thank you.
Okay, so we hope that answered a couple questions about color enhancing shampoos. Thanks again to Moroccan Oil, our sponsor for that segment. We were excited to offer you guys that exclusive presale on their Blonde Perfecting Purple Shampoo. And I kind of want to hear how it went for some people. So if any of you took us up on that, please DM us. Let us know what you think of the product.
Yeah, we love giving you guys like a little like extra early access stuff. I love doing more of this.
You're welcome.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff. With real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms. While Jess was on maternity leave, I got to sit down with Zoe Foster Blake, a former magazine journalist turned entrepreneur. Zoe used to be the beauty director for Australian Cosmopolitan and then Harper's Bazaar, so you know she knows beauty. Plus, she's the author of 4 novels, a dating and relationship guide, and a beauty book called Amazing Your Face. And she also wrote the children's book with the best title ever, No One Likes a Fart. Zoe's the founder of GoTo Skincare and the fun little kid offshoot line, Grow 2. So here's the interview. Welcome.
Hello.
So I loved Zoe immediately when I met you a couple months ago because I swear the first thing we talked about was farts.
Jesus.
Does that sound on brand for you?
Yes. Well, weirdly, yes.
Sorry, that's how I started the interview. But as she says in one of her kids' books, no one likes a fart.
No one likes a fart.
No, but then I was like, okay, we're going to be friends. So you don't just write about farts. You've been a beauty director and editor in Australia.
Does that make some context? I wrote a children's book about farts. I'm not a fart woman.
Did you think I wasn't going to get to the context?
God.
This is, if someone just tuned in and like didn't keep going, they'd be like, what the hell is this podcast? Mm. So you were a beauty director. You are an author. You have multiple books, including a children's book.
Yes.
You're also an entrepreneur, founder of GoTo Skincare and GrowTo Skincare. You're a mom. You're Australian. You're cool. What did I miss?
No, that's it. That's all. That's it.
That's it. That's everything. Okay, you can go home.
Thank you so much.
Wasn't that fun?
Yeah.
So how did you even get into beauty? Like, how did you become a beauty editor?
I didn't know what one was, to be fair. I was 23 and I was working in mags. I was working in a music mag, now dead, called Smash Hits. And I applied for a job at Cosmo and got the job as beauty editor. And I think, honestly, the editor hired me because I didn't know anything about beauty. And she thought it would be fun. She liked my writing tone. She thought it would be fun for me to offer a more conversational perspective on beauty and sort of go along with the reader and hold their hand and be like, I don't know what a highlighter is, but hell, Jessica Simpson's using them. Let's find out about them together.
You've just dated us.
This was the 2004. She was big back then. So
I think she had a highlighter that was flavored, if I remember correctly, like a body shimmer, a fragrance body shimmer that you could lick.
Oh.
I was working at Cosmo Girl at the time.
Right.
So I was right there with you.
Yeah, you were.
Okay, so you brought the outsider's perspective.
Yes. So I learned on the job. And I think that's what beauty editors do. We're journalists who then learn from the best, right?
And
the
derms. And you find your beat.
You do.
Yeah.
And I got really passionate about it. And so I started beauty blogging on the side in 2006.
Is this Zoe They Sell?
No, it is not. I called it Fruity Beauty. It was just like, it was a little bit anonymous because I wanted Cosmo to have a blog, but this was 2005, 2006. It wasn't really done back then. They didn't understand. But I'm like, I think we're missing out on a chance to have a dialogue with readers and be like, put photos and videos up. And I sort of had that vision because I think beauty is such a visual thing. It's so hard to write about it in static on a page. So I just did it myself.
And just quietly.
Just quietly started a little digital following. And then went on and wrote a beauty book.
That book while you were at, you were still a beauty editor, right?
I think I was at Bazaar then, yes. Or I'd moved on.
Wait, is it called Amazinger Face?
Well, it was called Amazing Face in 2006.
Oh, and then the follow-up.
Yes, Amazinger Face.
Why did you leave that traditional media world and go do your own thing?
Someone offered me an opportunity to basically take my little beauty blog and make it into a fully-fledged beauty site, or portal, as they were calling it back then.
Okay.
So it would have money, infrastructure, a big company behind it, and I would be editor-in-chief and choose my staff. And I thought, I just had this moment, like a tipping point going, I think this is the way. Like, I feel like this is where I belong, digital. So I did it and didn't look back. And I love digital. I'm very happy there.
What's some of the best advice? I know this is a hard question for a beauty editor, but like, you did a whole book. What's the thing that everybody needs to know that comes out of that you learned while you were a beauty editor?
I think some of the things I picked up over the years were like, I remember meeting Dr. Daniel Mays one time and he was like, I tell every beauty editor this, stop over exfoliating. You have a finite amount of skin. Take it easy. And so I think we went through a really bad over exfoliation phase. And I unfortunately think that's coming back again with all these over-the-counter high strengths that girls are using.
The acid, liquid acids. Yeah,
because they're just loving the glow. But that's, you know, you're only 22. You're going to need those products when you're older. Save them for then.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't speak to every type of skin, of course. Like, people need them for different reasons. But anyway, so that was a good one. Don't over-exfoliate and gentle is more. Also, I think things like just not turning your face up to the shower head because it's going to ruin your capillaries because it's too much
just
heat.
Hot water, like,
yeah, right onto your face. Like, a lot of people get capillaries around their nose and cheeks because
and I come out of
water.
And I just come out looking bright red and even more vascular.
Yes, try not to irritate the vascular.
I should probably not do that, huh?
Yeah, so I find those little ones on, like, you know, instead of putting bottom lash mascara and you just put the mascara on there and blink. And I like those little pervy dinner party tips.
Wait. I don't know this tip. You just take the mascara on horizontally.
Just put it on your lower lash line and blink.
On the top?
And it imprints. No, rest it on your lower lashes.
Okay.
Blink.
And blink. And it just like presses
perfectly
in.
Perfectly.
Oh, but then not the underside of the lower lashes.
No, don't like getting the
Because then it won't smudge as much.
Yeah.
Zoe, Why have I never heard this tip? I literally have a podcast called Fat Mascara.
Yes.
Good Lord.
Oh, my God.
That's a good one.
Oh, thanks. I'm a tubular mascara girl, so nothing
tubing,
smudges.
Tubing mascara. Yeah. What's your favorite?
Well, I just tried a new one. I love Drugstore Beauty over here, man. Like, it's so much better in the States.
Oh, good.
I go into CVS and I go bananas.
Yeah, what'd you get?
I got, it's called Snap.
I knew you were going to say Snap Mascara.
You know why? Because the tubular ones never give you volume.
So it's Maybelline, right?
Yes.
I don't know if that's a tubing. They claim it's a tubing mascara. It definitely is less likely to smudge, but it doesn't come off
not
in those.
Like Kevin Aucoin, no.
Yeah, it's not like Kevin Aucoin or Blink where like it comes off in those little rubbery
but
tubes.
But you don't get the panda drop down. So as long as I'm not getting that, I don't know where it disappears to at night. It must just wash off.
Right, but you can't see it. Like some of those other tubing mascaras, yeah. You see them rinsing off.
Having said that, I'm a cleansing oil person. Nice segue to my new product. But I'm a cleansing oil person, so it's coming
off
anyway.
I'm not allowing
anyway.
It. We're not ready for that yet. I still
but
have
yeah,
more questions.
It'll come off. It just disappears. But I just don't want the smudge down. And because I'm such an oil user, like I find that if I'm using these big non-tubular exciting volume ones, I'm just going to smudge.
They always do on me. Okay, so you have all the tips and advice. What's the beauty skill you don't have?
Lots.
You still haven't mastered.
Winged liner. Who can do that? I can't do
that. Can you
that.
Do one eye at least?
I just give up.
Do you like the way it looks on you?
Actually, maybe not.
I was going to think, like, maybe this is a self-fulfilling thing. If you can't actually do the wings, maybe it's because your eyes aren't meant to have winged
but
liner.
I love the look. Like, I love the idea of Audrey Hepburn.
Yeah.
Feline eyes. Also, I'm always confused about blush placement. And I think that when you get older, you need to be aware of changing your blush placement. Like, I'm turning 40 this year and I feel like I have to rethink everything. And that was partly why I wrote Amazing Face, because I'm like, I wanted you to question where you learnt beauty. Who taught you? And who were they? Like, for me, it was a girl in the toilets or my sister who didn't know
shit. Wait, a girl in the toilets?
At high school.
Oh, like in the bath?
Yeah, sorry, in the bathrooms.
Just picturing
not literally
you,
in the
like,
toilet.
Like lifting up the toilet seat and there's like a makeup artist pops out. Like, what?
No, really.
Like you watched an older girl like putting on her
like
makeup or whatever.
Doing a terrible job of eyeliner. I'm like, that must be how you do it.
Yeah. And you have to evolve, don't you? Like once you've learned, that doesn't mean you're done learning.
You know, your skin will change. And I look, it's a YouTube time now. Like girls are actually like fully blown makeup artists in their own bedroom because they've been learning and that's good. Keep learning.
Yeah. So any pet peeves as you go throughout your life and you see other people and you teach them about beauty and you have your own skincare line, like what are women still doing wrong? The over-exfoliating.
Yeah. And I wouldn't say pet peeves. I want to help women. I think I write all these books and I do all this because I really just want, like, you know, from being a beauty editor, the thrill of a recommendation. You save someone time and money and stress. You just go, you don't need 10 red lipsticks. You just need the Armani one or you just need the Maybelline. Okay, so you do. I mean, lipstick's a bad choice of example.
I literally have like 60 red lipsticks.
Of course you do. But sorry, but I think with skin, like the point is if you get your skin in good shape and you look after it, you can do so you can your makeup and everything else is a lot easier in life.
Okay, so your website says this is great. In 2014, Zoe launched her own skincare line, GoTo, result of 10 years of working as a beauty editor, and the result of a special brand of arrogance that makes her believe she can compete in a market that already features approximately 3 billion products.
Mm-hmm.
What made you start the line?
I think having been a beauty editor, like I was still frustrated at skincare on the whole. And this was like back in 2012 when we had sort of like the legacy brands and the organic brands and the supermarket brands and not a huge amount in between in the gray area. And I had so much feedback from women on how skincare just was so intimidating and confusing and frustrating. And they'd go to their facialist or they'd go to the department store and feel bullied. And like, I've got 10 products, I don't know how to use them. I'm like, it can be easier. And I think as the beauty editor, our job was to act as the vessel between the brand and the consumer and to make it easy and layman for them.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that is missing in a brand, that simplicity. And Australians, we're sort of known for our laid back approach to fashion, food, lifestyle, hair and beauty. And this was no different. Like we use a lot of botanicals and it's plant-based and it's gorgeous, but it's effective because I'm like, if I'm going to ask women to put things on their face and take money from them, they have to work. And I know it works. I know what actually works because all the beauty editors know that it's really only AHAs, antioxidants, retinol. There's only really a handful of things.
Of active ingredients.
Yeah. And then barrier repair and making anti-inflammatory things. So I really did know what worked and what was just marketing hype and bullshit because I'd sat through so many presentations.
Mm-hmm.
And so I sat with my formulator who had like 20 years experience in organic and natural skincare. And I said, here are my five dream products. Can we make them? This is what I want them to be. Like, and when you laugh, but I'm like, well, as an example, like I love Embrilisse and everyone loves Embrilisse, but it's not as, you know, sorry to use the word, but it's not as clean. Like, there are things in there that I wouldn't necessarily want to put on my
skin
every day.
And that's the really rich, like, French pharmacy moisturizer?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I love a rich skin. Like,
just for those who might not know.
Exactly. Sorry. So it's a pharmacy brand, and it's really popular with makeup artists. Like, it's in everyone's kit, and it's this universal, very useful face cream. That's literally the name of my cream, because I'm like, I just want a very useful face cream.
It's called a very
It's
useful.
Literally called that.
And your mask, I think, was... This will make you look like you know what sleep is.
Yeah.
Or something like
it's
that.
Called Transformazing, but we put that on the front because I'm like, that's the call to action.
Yeah.
This will make you look like sleep
I mean,
actually happens
you
in your life. Yeah.
What was the hardest thing about doing this? Like, what advice can you give to someone if they really want to start their own line?
I do advise people on this, and it's not just beauty, but I think it's when you have a thing in your hand that actually exists, it becomes a lot easier. I didn't have a business plan. I knew there was a gap, and I knew this was a product that I personally wanted to use as someone who traveled a ton and now has two young children. Whatever was in my kit had to really work. And as well as thanking being a beauty editor for the knowledge, I thank it for the absolute backlash I felt when I stopped being, when I'm like, oh, I don't want 20 fucking products in my bathroom anymore. I just want like three that actually work.
Yeah.
And so I needed to go full circle and go, I don't want to have a kit that is full of fluff. I just want the useful stuff. So I think you have to make things that you wish existed or that you want or that you're hacking and putting together yourself and you're like making your own stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But when I say have a thing that exists, like get a sample, like go on Alibaba and get a tube. Like I think once you actually see something and you can go, I don't want that lid, I do want that color, it actually begins without you noticing and you accidentally trick yourself into starting the project rather than going.
So you like
step
were already
one.
Looking at tubes and packaging before you like had your formulations going?
Well, that's the other thing. I had to find a formulator. I'm not a chemist.
Yeah, right.
So my friend who has an organic skincare line, she put me onto him, and really that's when it started. Because when you have a little sample in your hands of some goop, you're like, okay, now it's really happening.
Right, rather than planning out, it'll look like this. Here's the marketing. Here's how I'll do this. And it's like, get a product first that you believe in.
Okay, exactly. And everyone's different. Like, my whole joy is marketing and copy. But the goo has to, like, people will buy it once for the marketing, but they won't come back if the goo's rubbish.
What was, like, the hardest part about starting the line that surprised you? Like, you thought this would be hard, but it was really this other thing.
I think it's the crystal balling. So it's like... the manufacturing and logistics stuff. Like, this is in the early days. Now we have wonderful people employed to do this stuff for us. But it's like going, how many do we order? Like, ugh.
Or like guessing how many you're going to sell.
And how many should we fill? Because if we fill too many, they'll sit in the warehouse and they'll go off. Like, you get a huge piece of press and then you sell out. And it's that does my head in. Like, I hate that stuff. That's not how I'm wired. I'm definitely the founder in that sense of like NPD and marketing and the vision of the brand. But I'm also CCO, so I'm doing all the creative stuff as well. I love that. But God, like, I can't manage a company.
You just said NPD? What is
that? Oh, new product development. Sorry.
Oh, I did not know.
No, sorry. And I shouldn't be so obnoxious.
No, just... not at all. That's why we have a podcast to, like, dig into
things.
When people start throwing acronyms at us and we don't know what they are. That's good to know.
Yeah.
Just breaking through the noise, too, because there are so many lines now. How important do you think packaging is in a beauty product? Because you have a very distinctive packaging.
Yes. So we went out with Peach in 2014, started 2014. And back then...
Let's talk about millennial pastels,
well,
shall we?
That was pre that. Like, we didn't realize that. Peach I love because I think Miami grandmas have it down. Like, peach and gold is my favorite look.
Yeah.
And I was like, there are no peach products. That's really weird. Now I know it's really hard to color match all of your products. Like, it's almost impossible to get the same peach across different, like, glass and plastic and paper. And it's genuinely hard to get that.
Does the peach have a name?
It's got a Pantone, but
oh, okay,
yeah, no,
it's not like,
just go-to peach.
Go-to peach.
Yeah. So and I went.
Were you annoyed? Because let's talk about this color though. The color scheme has become very prevalent. I just was looking at Fourthray, the skincare line, and like Glow Recipe, and obviously Glossier, whatever. They're all like sort of in this pastel range.
Yeah.
Do you think that's because we just want to be like soft and happy? What's going on there?
Well, my reason was like, whilst I love pink, it felt too polarizing and too feminine. Peach has a little bit of warmth and a bit of red and a bit of coral to it. It's a bit sassier. Like, peach is warm and inviting and non-threatening and not too frilly, you know?
Yeah.
So I that was one of the reasons. I mean, also, it just literally was my favorite color.
Well, then that makes sense. There was no marketing person behind that one.
No way. And remember, we were D2C for like 5 years.
D2C means direct to consumer.
Yes, so just selling online, pardon me. Just selling online. And so we weren't in store. Now we've gone into retail. It's packaging has become a huge consideration because there are so many things I want to refine when you're sitting next to brands that have been around for 25 years or beautiful brands that have been built for Instagram and you're like just this company that used to just go from warehouse to customer. I'm like, all right, we need to
clean because you're up in retailers now. Like, yeah. What retailers are you selling with?
We're in Mecca back home in Australia and we're in Sephora here.
When is Mecca coming to the States? I hear such good things.
Oh, is it? I don't even know if it is.
I don't know. I think it should though because every time I talk to an Australian, they talk about that.
I think it's best in class for retail and beauty. It's such a wonderful experience. And you know what it is? Yes, they have great products and great stores, but it's the customer service. It's just amazing. They educate you. They talk you through it. They try it with you. You walk out feeling confident and competent, which is what I want from my dealings with a retailer. I want to go, yes, I bought the right things and now I know how to use them.
Very true.
Yeah.
And the packaging, I think you are good at with that line, but it extends to grow too. Can I just talk about, I used the Dream Buster spray on my stepson. Well, he just loved the little monster on the front. And I was like, boy, this is lavender spray. But I'm not going to tell him
story,
that.
The story.
I told the story like you told me to. Explain how that product came about.
So Grow 2, it came out in October. And this, I have two small children who were very rashy and sensitive. And I found that I was using Grow 2 on them because I trusted Grow 2. I knew it wouldn't have any irritating side effects. And it was clean, sorry for the word. But it was safe for them to use on their skin, even as a newborn. And so it came to me. I was like, hang on, I reckon I could do this for kids. And I feel like there is a gap. I feel like baby in particular, baby, there's, first of all, we say it's a kids range, not just babies. And it's made to look like toys and things that exist in their
They've
world
They've got
already.
Little faces on them, guys. They look like Elmo, for God's sakes.
Thank you. They do. But kids see them and they take possession of them and they have ownership and they're like, that's for my body. Whereas I think classically it's like got little baby ducks on it or it's like a pharmacy brand or it's mummy stuff. And so when they go into the shower or the bath and they see this bright blue happy bottle beaming at them, they're like, this is for me.
And specifically, I was also asking about the Dream Buster.
Oh, bad Dream Buster.
Like, was there a bad dream situation with your kids that you were like, how do I get that? Because you know how kids go through that phase where they're like afraid to go to sleep?
Yes. Well, my son, it's the middle of the night for him. So he comes in.
Oh, he'll wake up like.
Yes. But we spray it before bed. But we've had these amazing stories from mums and dads who are like, we've got a son with anxiety or night terrors or even PTSD. They've got Bad Dream Buster. And like you say, it's just lavender spray in a plastic bottle. But the story is so powerful for a 4, 5, 6, 7-year-old. They feel like they've got a tool and they can sleep through because they've got armor, you know, they've got something that's like protecting them and it's all story, but it works for them. And so it's such a great gift for anyone because it's like, first of all, you calm them down because it's lavender spray and I use it on my pillow.
Yeah, it's a relaxing smell. Yeah.
But the narrative for a child to have something is just for them.
Like, I'm going to spray this and all the bad stuff.
And they spray it in
away.
The toilet, you know, if they're scared to do a poo, like when they're potty training. And
I did not know this.
Yeah, they wherever they think there's
boogeymen. You brought it back to poop and farts.
Sorry.
I didn't.
God, I'm such a child. I know.
You had that issue though, where they were afraid to, flush or just to sit on it?
Well, my daughter's going through it now. She's 2.5. And when you
think
about
it. Use the bad buster spray. The Dream Buster, just like,
well, they poop standing up for the first few years of life, and then they're suddenly like, sit on this big hole,
right?
You
That's
know,
a
with
very
no,
good point.
No nappy on, and don't be scared.
And the little bottle will help you.
Yeah, and there's this loud flushing noise, and it's all a bit scary. So,
well, bonus, then it smells like lavender in the bathroom. Yes. So I'm down with that. Okay, let's talk about you've made two wonderful lines. Is there anything still missing? Like, what is there, or is there a dream product you just haven't been able to figure out? Or what does the world need still?
Well, we actually have Brotu back in Australia as well, which is the men's line.
Okay.
Started as a joke because we knew all the guys were using our like peach cleansing mousse and face hair and so on. And so we, as a Father's Day joke, we're like, let's do it in grey packaging so they feel safe using it. You know, it's like nice, manly, masculine.
Protein, yeah, Blizzard, chainsaws.
And so we.
There's no Pro 2 chainsaw. Is there? No. I don't know. I shouldn't just say that.
But
like,
we
I
joked.
Know.
Like, we took the piss the whole way through and we're like, you know, this has T-Rex hormones in it. And it's like, we're just making a mockery of the whole men's skincare category. But guess what? It actually worked and it sells really well. So now we're going to rebrand it and we're going to give it a proper personality and do it properly because.
You're not going to keep it as Bro 2?
It's still Bro 2. But okay. Like proper packaging and give it its own identity like we did with Grow 2 because we know men, especially young men, like the millennials coming through are using a lot of skincare.
Yeah.
Whereas boys my age never did at 19. They didn't care. They didn't think about it. So it's good. Times are changing. But it's the same formula.
Got it. Yeah. Got it. So before you leave, we're going to have a speed round, which is really fun. But first, we talked about mascara, what your favorite mascara. What are some of your other favorite products from other lines besides your own?
First of all, I did my CVS haul, and then I went into Detox Market, and I got some lovely new makeup in there. Mm-hmm. I love Kosas. I think they're doing a great job.
I was going to say, you always have, like, the prettiest rose gold peachy shadow situation.
Thank you.
Last time I saw you, too, it's like a sunset on your lids. What do you use?
Well, I had professional makeup done today, so this wasn't me. But I do use a lot of creams up there in my eyes. Actually, there's...
Up there.
Yeah, up there. I love creams. I'm a bit of a classic. Like, I still love my NARS, and I still love, you know, the makeup artistry brands.
Uh-huh.
They still bring me a lot of joy. But I also love, like, a Maybelline or a Revlon very much.
For eyeshadows.
Yeah, or for shadows. Yeah, creams. I love By Terry, and I kind of love Laura Mercier's new creams. There's actually a brand called Trini London.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and she does really good pots of cream shadow. They're lovely. They're like the old...
I gotta get back on the cream shadow thing.
Oh, my God, they're just so easy.
I don't know why I haven't done that in
a while. It looks like you've done so much more work than you have.
I know, I just feel like I have less lid.
I have less
real
lid.
Estate than I used to. So
but that's
like,
another good reason to. And you know, I've been Googling like hooded eyes and stuff because as I get older, I'm like,
where's
the space?
It's like your brows get lower and then your lid comes over the top other lid. And then I can't even get shadow in there.
So I brush my brows up to my bloody fringe because I want it like them right up to make me look fresher and younger.
Yes.
And then I was learning all these tricks about how you do eyeshadow to make your lids look bigger. They're out there. There's a lot of tutorials.
So I've heard on this thing called YouTube. Okay, we're going to do our speed round, okay, which is so fun and easy.
Yes.
What is the first beauty or grooming product that you fell in love with when you were little?
Bonnie Bell Lip Smackers.
What flavor were you?
Probably bubblegum. I'm bubblegum tragic, but I collected them. That was my first
moment. Bubblegum Tragic is a new children's book you need to write. I don't even know what it's about. It just sounds fun. Okay, next. What brings you a sense of calm, or how do you like to, I'm relaxed now because I did this?
Oh, look, like most parents, it's when the children, like you shut the door and they're going to sleep and you feel like that's a bit of a full stop and then you get to be a grown up. Have a wine, have some dinner, watch your shows.
Getting your kids successfully to sleep is like...
Another day down.
You did it.
They're alive, they're fed, they're in bed.
What's your favorite ice cream?
Yeah, I'm a child, so it's going to be Hokey Pokey or something. Do you know what Hokey Pokey is?
No.
Oh, God, maybe it's an Australian
maybe
thing.
Maybe the girl in the toilet eats it.
All right, enough about her. I know what her name was, by the way. It's Tammy.
Tammy.
But Hokey Pokey's like got caramel clusters in it. It's very sweet, sickly sweet. It's like a caramel ice cream with little hard caramel.
Is this at multiple different ice cream places or one in particular has this flavor?
Oh, everywhere in Australia and New Zealand has
this
flavor.
Like, it's just Hokey Pokey?
Hokey Pokey. Leonie, you know Eric.
You're probably out there going, yeah, you don't know Hokey
it's
Pokey?
A thing. Yeah, if you ever come to Australia or New Zealand, you'll get Hokey Pokey, and I encourage you to try it if you're a caramel fan.
I am. That's a new one. Okay, what's a song that pumps you up?
I am such a Spotify tragic. Like, I spend my whole life making playlists. I'm very specific about this. But I can only think of Tame Impala today, and I love that whole new album, Slow Rush.
Wait, what does it say it again?
Tame Impala.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Is there a whole pump-up Zoe Foster-Blake Spotify playlist?
Yes. It's called Fit.
Are you public figure?
Yeah, I'm public. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
we're
going
to follow you and get
please,
pumped up.
Yes. Well, no, that's just my stupid exercise one, but I have lots of playlists.
Oh, okay. I love seeing what people play. last thing, we end every show. What do you want to raise a wand to? So it's your chance to raise a wand.
New York City.
Oh.
I love this city. I love this city. I'm so happy to be here in March on a sunny day and to be able to travel with my brand. It's nuts.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah, this is a pinch me. So
our city raises a wand right back to you. Zoe Foster Blake, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Okay, it is time to raise a wand. Jen, what do you have for us today?
Well, I have never watched more television in my entire life than I have in the last month because, like, you don't go out at night anymore. And I'm, like, out of document. Like, all Eric wants to watch is the Criterion Collection, and every night is some art house thing. And I was like, can we just watch, like, a good series? So I finally tried Ozarks. Ozark?
Oh, I heard it's great.
Anytime anybody says that, I'm like, I don't want to watch the thing everybody else is watching. It can't be that great. I'm like, no. Oh my God, Rachel, our little producer just popped up in the window with two thumbs up. It started out in 2017. I'm just now getting into it. Damn if it's not smart and delightful and Jason Bateman, is that his name?
Yeah.
He directed it and it's fabulous and he's such a good actor and I'm getting into it. And Rachel, do not give anything away because I'm like two episodes in. If anybody needs a good binging show, there you go.
Didn't it just wrap the whole thing?
I think that's why I was hearing about it because everybody's like, oh, season finale. I was like, well, I guess it's time for me to start.
Yeah. My family, like, they're usually so excited like when I call because they're like, oh my God, like put Lake on. They like flip out. And the other day I called, I was like, Lake is here. And they're like, yeah, can we call you back? Because we're watching Ozarks. And like,
it's that kind of show where you're like, everybody shush, shush. Like, it's very like, you're on your edge. It's really good. What do you want to raise a wand to?
Okay, this is going to be, we're not doing beauty day, guys. We're doing content. We're doing like entertainment because
Oh, you also have entertainment.
Yes, I also have entertainment. So my friend Julie, I used to work with her at Cosmo. She's great. She has a newsletter. Newsletters are so hot right now, guys. I like it because it is condensed. It is easy to digest. If you are feeling overwhelmed by, you know, so much to do, see, watch, where to
everything.
Start.
Everything.
Yeah, exactly. I like it because it's a weekly thing. It's called Jules, J-U-L-E-S. And it's like what I watched, what I bought, what I ate. And what I like about it is I'm not always on the same page with her, but sometimes I am. And I like to kind of see like, oh, she liked that. Oh, I wasn't a fan of that. Or like, oh, she too listened to the new Fiona Apple. Oh, I dug that song. Or like, oh,
I love the new Fiona Apple.
I'm still like wading through it. Some songs I love and some I'm like, I'm not into at all. So it's like,
oh, they're weird. They're weird.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm really have a lot of mixed feelings. I'm like, I waited 8 years for this and I'm a little pissed. Sorry. I know we can talk about this offline. But I feel like sometimes she'll like, you know, be like, oh, I love these pants. And I'm like, I wouldn't wear those. But then the next thing it's like, she loved this movie. And I'm like, Julie, I'm like, you're my long lost sister. It's like, I love the
connection you get. Okay, so how do we get this fabulous newsletter?
So we're gonna put a link to subscribe on our blog, but there's also a link to subscribe on her Instagram, and her Instagram is at Julie, spelled the traditional way, Vadnal, V as in Victor, A-D-N-A-L. There's a link right there.
Cool. Okay, so now you got a newsletter and a TV show. And we'll see you next week.
I think we're good. You're set.
Thanks for listening. Our show is produced by At Will Media.
Be sure to follow us on Instagram at FatMascara. Go to FatMascara.com to get a link to our private Facebook group and hit us up.
If you have a beauty question, you can send it to us at info@FatMascara.com. We'd love if you send us a voice memo. We also want to hear your raise a wands. Send those to the same address, info@FatMascara.com.
And if you like what you're hearing, please leave us a review on iTunes. Just throw us some stars.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.